This morning, there's going to be a number of things that are slightly different, slightly out of the norm. One is, obviously, we are having our monthly time when Dan leads us in worship, and it's a little bit more intimate, a little bit more worshipful. I say worshipful, but it's good. And we're also around tables, you may have noticed. But it's our quarterly potluck and quarterly meeting, family meeting, which you're all welcome to stay for as well. There'll be plenty. But the reason many of you know that Charles passed away yesterday. And I'm not sure how we're going to get through this morning, but I know Charles would have wanted us to worship. He would have wanted us to declare the gospel. He would have wanted this morning to be about Jesus. There's going to come a time shortly for his funeral when we're going to remember him. We're going to remember how much he meant to us. But today it's going to be about the promises of God's word and the goodness of God and his faithfulness to us. So I want us to spend some time today praying for the family, praying together. And then we're going to look at God's word. So we're going to continue to worship and to sing. Thank you, Dan. So, thank you.
Oh, my love for you. I'll pour out all my love here at your feet. Grateful love is my unending song. I'll pour out all my love here at your feet. Grateful love is my unending song. I'll pour out all my love here at your feet. Grateful love is my unending song. I'll pour out all my love here at your feet. Jesus, oh my Lord, you have won me, won my heart over and over, and I won't hold it back. Oh my love for you. Over and over, and I won't hold it back.
Oh my love for you. Within your presence, I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus
till every dark addiction starts to break,
declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine in the shadows.
Break through the fire.
Speak the name of Jesus over every anxiety, through every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus.
Power, your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Your name is
on the mountains. And Jesus on the streets. Jesus in the darkness. For every enemy, Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. I'm Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Amen. Thank you, Dan. You can be seated. There we go. I think it's on. Good morning, everyone. It's kind of a heavy day for our church. For those who maybe just joined us or didn't hear Athel's message, one of our dear members, Charles Kernier, went to be with the Lord yesterday. He was out biking early in the morning and was hit by a car. So it's been kind of tough news for many of us to swallow. We really love Charles, and there's some ways that you'll find out later on about giving to that and so on, but it's a little bit tough. But even in the midst of that, as Athel said, I know if Charles was here, he would love for us to be worshiping. I have a great memory of him in our Tuesday morning prayer times. There was one time he played a song for us, and I remember him just sitting back and worshiping Jesus, and that's Charles's heart. So as we worship the Lord, even through our tithe and through our offerings and even through our announcements, all the practical things we have to do, there's still joy because we get to love Jesus. And there's still joy because we know where Charles is, even though it hurts. So I want to just welcome all of you this morning, even if it's a little heavy in our hearts, to Grace Point, because we're family. Family laughs together, family grieves together, and all those emotions are okay. And all of them are welcome here today. So we're kind of spread out in different tables and so on. Do we have anybody that's absolutely brand new, never been to Grace Point, or hasn't been to Grace Point for a long time? Yeah, got one over there, I know. We've got some connection cards we'll give you. We'd just love to get reacquainted with you and touch with you. So, yes, and we got some over here. Over here, Lawrence. So we'll get those to you. Seem to be lacking cards at the moment. So we're going to go right into a time of announcements. I want to remind everybody that, yes, we are a wonderful church who likes to get together, and we have a potluck today. So I know many of you brought some different foods. It smelled really good in the kitchen over there. When we are all done, we'll give you instructions, but you're basically going to go through that door and through a line and come back in here and sit around the tables. It's been a while since we've gathered, so it's good that we can do that. And if you came today and you're like, oh, I didn't bring anything, that's okay. We'll multiply the food. I'm sure there's plenty, so please stay and join us. It's a great time of fellowship. Plus, we have our family meeting today, our quarterly business meeting, so we want to have you come and be a part of that. Tonight is our worship watch and wait. It's a thing that Daniel Breimer's been doing for many years now, and it's awesome. I promise you, if you've never come, please come. Great time of just worshiping the Lord. It's a great time to pour out our hearts to the Lord. Journal before the Lord. It's just a great, pure worship time. So come on out tonight, 6 o'clock, 6 to 7:15 tonight, okay? He's not going to do it for a couple of weekends, so make sure you come tonight if you haven't been for a while. Then youth group tonight at 6 o'clock, but there'll be no middle school class for the Sunday morning, so middle class school, you guys can stay here. But youth tonight, 6 o'clock, upstairs in the youth room. And then Brett's going to come up and share about life groups, but before he does that, on your tables there is a very special camping and fishing trip that's coming up that Gene Rogers has organized. It's a great time to go out fishing, just doing some camping. Even if you're not a fisherman, just have fun. Come on out to the outdoors. This place is only about an hour away, I heard, so it's not too far. And Gene is going to do a quick briefing. So right after we're finished, if you would meet Gene out in the foyer before you get your food, Gene would like to just know who's interested and be a part of that as he's going to share some more information. But that is the 23rd and the 24th of September, and you have the flyer and you have the dates there for you. So, Brett, life groups.
Okay, so about 30 years ago, something changed my life as a young Christian. It was Jesus, of course, but it was a small group. It was a place where I went from learning, from just having a personal relationship with God, to walking with others in relationship with God. And that's what here we call them life groups. And so my message today, the announcements is next week. I want you this week to be thinking, do I want to get connected with others here in this church? Do I want to grow with Jesus with others in this church? And next week we will be having a sign up right here on September 4th, Sunday, right after the service. There'll be facilitators here and some sign ups. And so be thinking about that and come next week ready to jump in.
Thanks, Brett. One last one from our kids. So there's going to be a back to school family night, okay? So listen up, you guys who have kids in the kids' church, Sunday schools, there's going to be a back to school family night on Friday, September 10th from 4:30 in the afternoon till 7 o'clock. So you can see Stephanie Powers if you want to know more about that. But a great time to just kind of have that back to school celebration, find out what's going on in kids' church, find out what's going on in a different Sunday school class. Good time to just reconnect for your parents and for your students. So I want to make sure you know about that. So now as we head into a worship time of offering's an amazing time, really. It isn't just about giving money and passing a plate and feeling embarrassed because we didn't bring something or we do or all those things. It's really meant to be a sacrifice. It's a time to say, Jesus, I want to give back to you what you've given to me. Whether that's a one-time thing you do or something you do every month or every Sunday, whatever. It's a time to just say, Lord, I recognize you as the one who owns it all. And my giving back, both in time and service to the church or in money into the offering, is a way to say thank you. There's a way to do that, obviously, as we pass the plates by check or cash. There's also a way to do it online. If you are a phone person like me, you can sign up through our Faith Street. Once you've signed up, it's as simple as literally putting the amount, like $200, hitting the send button, and boom, it comes out of your account, makes giving really, really easy. So I want to encourage you to do that in our amazing electronic world. So sign up for that if you haven't done so already. But most importantly, let's pray. Let's pray for the offering. Let's pray that the Lord would bless it and really encourage it and multiply it for us and for our church. So, Father, we just ask you, Lord, to really bless this offering, God. Lord, we ask you to just multiply it, Jesus. We ask that you'd use it for the work of the church, Lord, for all the things that we have to do, from the bills that have to be paid to the ministry to the missions. We give ourselves to you. So Lord, thank you now for this offering, and thank you for this time. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Well, good morning again. You know, the past few weeks, even months at Grace Point have been very, very challenging. And some of you may remember Kay Hensley. She helped with our youth last year and even during COVID. And she passed away, and her funeral was July 2nd. And last Saturday, not yesterday, but the week before, we had the funeral for Ann Jackson. And she was 96 years old, ready to be with Jesus, and a dear part of the family. And then Friday this week, 2 days ago, our friend and neighbor, Barbara Blair, we had her funeral. She passed away very suddenly at the age of 76. And Debbie and I were particularly close to her. She was our neighbor, literally across the road from us. And she was a dear part of our family. And so that funeral was on Friday. And obviously yesterday, our friend Charles, and he was only 43 and leaves behind 10 children. And, you know, part of what we've seen the Lord doing is we set up a, and Lynn Dubwig and Jason set up a GoFundMe, and that is going towards helping the family's expenses. There's also a way to give through Faith Street. There's a link for that as well, so you don't have to pay the GoFundMe fees. But everything will go to bless the family, to help them with their financial need. There's also a meal train set up. And tomorrow morning, I'll send out all three of those links so that you can have them in your email. And if you don't get the church email, let me know. We'll get you signed up. But please jump in. Practical ways we can help the family. And but these families have all been affected dramatically in the last few weeks. And Barbara, her daughter, Suzanne, has been coming across to her house every day, and we see her in Barbara's house sorting things, looking for things, cleaning things, and, you know, just such a lonely job and such a painful job to go through. And so I wanted to take some time this morning as we're sitting around tables, we're family, and I want us to pray. And you can, it'd be great if you, as the Lord leads you, pray out loud so we can all share in agreement with your prayer. But I'm just going to throw it open and let us pray. Pray for the Cronier family, the Blair family, the other families, Jackson families, and the Hensleys, and just as the Lord leads you. So let's just spend some time in prayer.
just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over fear and all anxiety, to every soul captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Do that again.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness and over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break through the strongholds. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there's
there's a peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, worship team. Let's pray before we look at God's word. Lord, we thank you for the power of your name. Yeah. We thank you, Lord, that there is breakthrough of every stronghold. There is life. Yeah. There's freedom. Yeah. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. And all that you have done for us. And even as we declare that today by celebrating communion, it is your name,
yes,
that we hold on to.
Yes.
And we pray this in that precious name right now.
Yes.
Amen. So I was going to continue our series through 1 John this morning, but I'm going to pause that and just a few thoughts that the Lord gave me last night, and so it's not going to be long, but we're also going to be remembering the Lord's Supper together. But as I said, you know, this is not a funeral service, because many of you didn't know, even coming in here this morning, you came to worship, and this is the place for worship to declare the name of Jesus and declare what he has done for us and declare what he is still going to do and has done for all eternity. And so it's a worship service. We come to worship our Creator because he is good. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, it is the chapter that we always turn to when we want the purest and the shortest form of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4, Paul writes the most succinct declaration of the gospel. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. The chapter goes on to talk about our hope, about the hope that we have, that there is life after what we see and know around us. There's life after death, and that is the real life. That's the reality. What we see around us is temporal. Everything we see around us is temporal. And that life that we're looking forward to, that we read about in 1 Corinthians 15, is that resurrected body that we have. That's an eternal body. Paul continues in verse 35 and 36, but someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And then verse 42, he continues, so is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body.
Amen.
And as we were praying with the family yesterday, the Lord really impressed on me the picture of sowing a seed in the ground. And Paul writes, he says, unless a seed is sown and it dies, it cannot produce life. There has to be a sowing in order for there to be a harvest. There has to be a putting away in order for there to be new growth and new life. These earthly bodies that we have are going to be discarded one day. They're temporal. They're going to be discarded, every one of us. And our friends that have gone before us, their lives have literally been sown. Whether they've been cremated or buried, it doesn't matter. But their lives have been sown so that there will be life. And there's going to be a day when the Lord raises everyone with a new resurrected body who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But further than that, I really felt as I was praying for this family, those of you that knew Charles and spent time praying with him, in prayer meetings and fellowshipping with him, he loved the Word of God. He was a man of prayer, a man of the Word. But he loved his family. He loved his family and gave himself for his family in so many different ways. And he sowed the Word of God into his family's lives. He sowed so much into them. There's legendary stories of how he would gather his children, and sometimes 2 hours a night, and we're going to have Bible study now. And the kids would roll their eyes, and I know they were like, oh no, another Bible study. But he would pour the Word of God into them because he believed it, he lived it, he loved it. And I'm believing that that sowing will produce a harvest. That pray with me for these children, that they will have tenfold the amount of passion for God's Word that he had. That they would have tenfold the love for the Lord that he had. The love for his Word that he had. There would be a harvest that would set demons fleeing. There has to be a sowing for there to be a harvest. Let it be so in the Crenier family. So how do we handle grief? How do we handle grief and pain? How did Jesus handle grief? In John 11, we read the story of Lazarus, who died, Jesus' friend. And when Jesus gathered with the others in verse 35, we read that Jesus wept. And he wept, and he was grieving. He was in sorrow. But verse 33, we read that Jesus was deeply moved and troubled in spirit. Now, it's kind of lost on our language. That just sounds like he was a little disturbed. But in the original Greek, that means that he was angry. He was indignant. He was furious. Why was he angry? He wasn't angry at the mourners. He wasn't angry at the way they treated Lazarus. No, he was angry at death. Jesus was furious because he saw death and it made him angry. In 1 John 3, verse 8, the reason the Son of God came was to destroy the works of the devil. And one of the reasons that we experience death is because of the fall, because of sin, because of Satan. Death is not God's original design. And when Jesus confronted death, he was angry. He was mad. And he said, I've come to destroy this. And everything inside him rose up, and he was angry. And when he confronted death and he said to Lazarus in verse 43, Lazarus, come out. The Bible says he used a loud voice. And I believe he didn't speak loudly because Lazarus was far in a tomb or because he was hard of hearing. No, Jesus was shouting a declaration of life over death. He was shouting so that all of hell and demons and Satan himself could hear that Jesus was going to kill death and destroy death. He was venting his anger. Jesus was venting his anger at death. And it's okay to be angry at death. It's okay to be angry at sin. It's not okay to be angry at God. So how we direct our anger is very important. Because we have to trust God. We have to trust that he is good, that he is working all things for the good of those that love him. That's not just a trite verse that we throw around in times like this. That's a promise of God's word. Secondly, it's okay to ask why. It's okay. It's okay to ask why. So if we're not supposed to be angry at God, can we ask God why? Well, I believe it is. Our Heavenly Father wants us to speak to Him. He wants us to engage with Him. He wants us to pour out our hearts to Him and cry out in real life and say, "This hurts, Father, why?" And the reason I know we can ask why is because Jesus asked why. When Jesus was on the cross, He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It's okay to ask why. God doesn't have to give us an answer. Sometimes He does. But it's okay to be real with God. And I think so often we're not real enough with God. We're playing religion. But we've got to get real where it really counts in our hearts. And when Jesus was crying out on the cross, He was quoting Psalm 22. And Psalm 22 is one of the clearest prophetic pictures of Jesus on the cross. And David wrote this psalm in a season of his anguish and pain. And I'm going to read the first five verses. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night I find no rest. And then in verse 3, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. David cried out, why? And God showed him and reminded him of His faithfulness. God reminded him of His goodness, of the miracles of the past. David trusts in God. And we have the same faith in God. We have the miracles, the goodness, the faithfulness of God. If you're sitting here today, you've experienced the faithfulness of God. It's okay to ask why, but look back. Look back at God's track record in your life and see what He's done. He has always been so faithful. He'll never let us down. There's a very short video clip, David, I don't know if you've got it queued up, of Charles that he shared maybe a little over a year ago with a friend. But I believe it really fits for us today, and it may be a little hard, but I want us to watch it because it declares exactly what he believed about God's faithfulness. So thank you, David.
When I think about the times that we live in and the uncertainties of what lies ahead, I'm reminded of God. And I'm reminded of Him who holds the sun, holds the stars, holds the galaxies and the cosmos. All together, it's the same God who holds you. And when I know that He's holding me and He got me and He sees me, then I know that it's going to be all right. So the message I want to give to you and the message I want to give to your audience is that it's going to be all right because He's good and He holds us together.
Amen. So how do we live now? How do we move forward in the light of loss and tragedy? And I believe that we come to the reality that life is short. We make the most of every day that the Lord has given us. We declare the goodness of God. Ephesians 5:15 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil." You know, the older you get, the more you realize how short life really is. The more you realize that life goes by quickly and not one of us is guaranteed tomorrow. Only God knows our days and our hours. But the reality is this world is not our home. This is not all there is. This world is not our home. We're not destined to live in this world and not destined to live in these bodies forever. But whatever we do here, whatever we do now with the time that God has given us affects eternity. Whatever we do today makes a difference for eternity. We have to believe that. Every one of us who are followers of Jesus will one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We read about it in Romans 14. And we'll have to stand and give an account, the Bible says, of how we lived our lives before Jesus. You think, well, that's strange. No. That judgment seat is for Christians, followers of Jesus. And we're going to have to give an account of our lives of how we used the resources God gave us. Being a child of God means daily walking and pursuing holiness and purity. Daily walking in holiness and purity for the glory of God in light of eternity. Are you living today in light of eternity? Or are you just thinking, well, I wonder when the Chiefs are going to kick off? Or what I'm going to have for lunch? Now, this is all just frivolous stuff in light of eternity. Daily coming before the throne of God, repenting of our sins, pleading for Jesus to forgive us of our sins, as he has promised in 1 John 1:9. He is faithful to forgive us of our sins, but we have to come in repentance. I think that's something that we need to do every single day. Make it a part of your life. Repent of your sins and pursue holiness. Daily walking in the spiritual disciplines. What are those spiritual disciplines? Daily walking in the spiritual disciplines that we have of reading God's word, of praying, of gathering together in fellowship, not just on a Sunday morning, but gathering together as the body of Christ, encouraging one another, building one another up, witnessing, sharing the gospel with others, living generously. That's a spiritual discipline. Being generous, caring for the broken and the hurting, doing what's right, being courageous to stand up for what's right in a world that says there is no truth, becomes a spiritual discipline, standing up for the truth. So today, as we're going to have a time of ministry and a time of prayer. And I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you. What is the Holy Spirit convicting you of right now, today, that you need to make right with God? And around our tables, I want us to spend some time praying before we come to the table of communion. We need to prepare our hearts. The Apostle Paul warns the church in Corinth of the danger of coming to this table with impure hearts. He says in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11, if anyone comes to this table in an unworthy manner, you're guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus. That's heavy. So we need to spend some time preparing our hearts to receive these elements. Again, in light of eternity, how are we living today? So, however, and Dan, if you want to come up and play, just let's spend a few moments. We're going to pause. And I want you to pray silently around your tables. But if there's someone that you need to approach and say, hey, I have this offense against you, let's deal with that right now. Ask for forgiveness. Make it right. Or if there's someone that you've offended, go and apologize. And let's spend time. You may want to kneel at your chairs. You may want to come up and kneel at the front. But we're going to spend a few moments just asking the Lord, asking the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Let's do that. as I shared earlier in Ephesians 5, we're encouraged to redeem the time, not to waste our lives. And Jesus redeemed the time. Jesus was someone that made every moment count. He didn't waste a single moment of his life. And when the time came for his to travel to Jerusalem, where he knew he was going to face the cross, he set his mind to do that. And nothing wavered him. Nothing took him off course. He gave up everything for the purpose of redeeming us. Jesus was the suffering servant. In Isaiah 53, we read how the prophet saw Jesus. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let us pray before we hand out the elements. Lord, we do thank you for the cross. We thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken for us, your blood that was poured out for us, for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you redeemed the time. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came on purpose, with a purpose, and that is to give yourself as a living sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. So, Lord, as we remember these elements now, and they're merely a picture of what you have done for us, Lord, I pray that you would give us a fresh understanding of the reality of the gospel, a fresh understanding of the reality of the cross. So we thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Would the deacons come up and distribute the elements for us? Brett just reminded me, we're actually going to have the deacons stand up front here, just spread out, and then you can come up and receive the elements from them. And if you're unable to come up, we'll bring it to you. But let's participate in actively coming and receiving the elements. Thank you, Lawrence. Just waiting to get guys in the sound booth, the elements. In Luke 22, we read, at the Last Supper, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, and saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Let's drink together. I want to close with a benediction. I've got two quick announcements after that, but I want to close with a benediction that's an old one, but it's good. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
Amen.
Normally when we remember communion and we celebrate communion once a month, we take a benevolence offering, and that is to help people in our community in need. And this morning we want to take a benevolence offering. If you would like to give today, or you can go online and give tomorrow for the Cranier family. And so there's a plate on your way out if you want to give cash or check, just to help the family. Again, tomorrow we'll send out an email with all of the details on how to give online, but if you'd like to give cash, that is available. And then secondly, we got a message from the family today. They've got Megan has her parents that have come in from out of town, and so today they would appreciate your prayers, and also appreciate just some alone time today. And they had a very busy day, obviously, yesterday. So, and I know they appreciate your prayers and appreciate your love for them. So just try and respect that as well if you can. And by all means, love on them, visit them during the week, and care for them. So thank you so much. And I don't know the details for the luncheon, but if you're able to stay for that, please stay. We're going to go out this door and walk around into the dining room, and everything is set up on the tables there. So you can come back to your tables and eat together. And let's celebrate what we have in the goodness of God and the gospel message that we have together. So thank you so much for coming this morning. If you aren't able to stay, God bless you, and may you have a blessed week. Thank you.